First up here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we talk to Tom Brantner, head cross-country coach, James Valley Christian girls and boys. The boys win their third state title in 4 years. They've had a top five finish here over the past 5 years in that stretch, and including winning a state title last week. Of course, the girls also were a top 10 finish for the girls' side of Class B cross-country, and we'll get to both sides of it here coming up. But I guess, Tom, first off, a small school like James Valley Christian, kind of like most typical Class B schools, every once in a while you just strike gold with just a strong group of runners that are really committed to the sport.
Yeah, we've really been blessed over the last 5 years to have some really talented athletes. And, you know, once you start having a little bit of success, that just breeds excitement, it breeds interest. We added sixth graders this year to our team to try to start them thinking about that process a little sooner. But yeah, when you have banners hanging up in the gym and trophies in the case, it really opens up the sport for the younger kids to look at too.
Well, let's talk about both teams. We'll start off with the girls. As I said, they had a ninth place finish, had a couple of girls finish up high. Just kind of run down some of the names and some of the girls. I know you have some veteran girls on that side, including somebody who's related to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Abby Hassard led our team at the state meet this last week, and she's really come on strong this year. She's only an eighth grader. She put in a lot of miles, and we expected her to be in that top 25, and she really hit that for us. Madeline Brantner, my daughter, really struggled with an ankle injury all through the season, and she's just run through the pain. You know, we've been taping it and trying to get her through the season, and really tried to back her off a little bit to prep her for state, but she was in a lot of pain, and we expected her in that top 25, and she ended up being 51st. So she was disappointed with how that went, but, you know, Abby Kate finished right about where we thought, right around the 50th place, and she's been dealing with an injury through the summer, and so she had a slow start to the season, but really came on again, and they moved up from 12th place last year to 9th place this year, and they're all coming back next year. We've got a couple of seventh graders that just started this year. And so we're looking forward to their future and what maybe will come next year.
And then talk about the boys. You mentioned a couple of your girls kind of working through injuries at some point here over the past couple of months. Until right before the start of a state last week, you were pretty much injury-free for the most part on the boys.
Yeah, our boys have been blessed this season, especially our top four runners have been so close in times and pretty much injury-free through the season. Just really strong finishes at every race we've been to, and we're really really excited about how they looked going into the state meet. The last couple weeks of the season with the bad weather and then even our region meet running with 3 inches of snow on the ground, I don't think we got the conditioning and the hard work maybe we wanted over the last 10 days of the season before the state meet, but they really put it together and finished the season strong anyway.
You know what? Go to that region meet up in Webster. You had to postpone it a day because while we saw a little snow here, nothing stuck. They were having big time issues up north there. You went from a Wednesday to a Thursday morning because that course actually ended up hosting two region meets, a Class B then a Class A later in the day. And running in the snow, while I guess you can't say it's unusual in South Dakota, that still had to be an experience that all the kids will always remember.
Yeah, it was a little frustrating for them, I think, for the week, trying to postpone it and trying to find a day where the weather was going to cooperate. And, you know, finally, I think the coaches just got frustrated with moving it, and we had talked a little bit about Friday as a possibility, but everyone just agreed to go ahead with Thursday. And, you know, the course was a little slippery. I mean, there was 3 inches of snow on the ground all over the course, and the kids, I think, responded well to it. It just made times a little bit slower, and we had a couple boys that actually missed a cone during the region meet because of the snow, but backtracked and went around the cone, and they went from second and third place to fifth and sixth place, and it didn't really matter at the region meet because we still ended up fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth, and kind of walked away with that title pretty easily still. But, the weather was definitely memorable, and I think it really hurt because we just missed that final day of real conditioning and race, you know, the race type of mentality there.
Well, let's talk about the boys and just run down the four for the most part. It's names we've been talking about here at the end of the cross-country season the past few years.
Yeah, our 14th and 15th place at state were Darian Hood and Braden Held. Darian has been a placer at every single one of those state titles, and then our fifth place, he led us last year with a ninth place finish. And so, you know, he doesn't always have some strong times through the season, but at the state meet, he's always there and always comes through in a clutch for us. Braden Held, I think this was the first time Braden actually figured in the team scoring at the state meet itself. And last year at the state meet, he actually collapsed probably 10 yards before the finish line, and it took him 30 to 45 seconds even to just go that last 10 yards, and spent about an hour in the paramedics after the race and just had a disappointing finished last year. And so for him to come back and in his senior season be 15th at the state meet was really exciting. And then Daniel Aurora and Colton Schweigert, really our two fastest times on the season, both struggled a little bit there at the state meet. Daniel, right around the mile, was in about 60th place, but really just fought through not feeling well and ended up in 32nd, which obviously was just enough. And Colton ended up with a bloody nose just a few minutes before the race, and the officials actually delayed the start of the race so that we could shove some cotton up his nose and actually get him into the race. And so he was a bit disappointed. As a senior, had hoped to be in the top 25, but really ran a gutsy race to just actually be the tiebreaker for us.
And that's the thing, you ended up with a tie for a Warner. You both had 44 team points. They had two guys in the top five, and then a bit of a drop-off before their third guy came in. And not often probably that you come up with that tiebreaker, but that always shows, you know, in Class B, it's that number four person. You know, they are important because they can make a difference. This year it was, you know, it was kind of, you said it was kind of just a good deal that Colton Schweigert, who had a tough race, still figured in the championship as the number four guy.
Yeah, it really was a perfect way for us to end the season. I mean, all four of those guys finished in a different order throughout the season, and for really all of them to actually play into that team title was kind of a storybook ending to their season, and for three of them, for their career. And it really just emphasized everything we always talk about. Those, you know, you run hard to the line, every place counts, every second counts, the fourth runner actually is important, and, you know, to have the third place team only be 1 point, Newell was only 1 point behind second there, and there was actually a tie for sixth and seventh place, and so some of the closest standings I've ever seen in Class B, and was an exciting day, I'm sure, for people to watch. Maybe a little bit more exciting than we had hoped for, but it was really great to come out on top.
You know, and while Colton Schweigert's situation there at the beginning was an unusual deal, another thing that struck me right away was, like we said, your third state title in 4 years. You had a state runner-up before that run as well, but you didn't have a top 10 finisher. You had all state runners, but you didn't have a top 10 finisher this year. So again, a little unusual from that stand, at least from how you've won the previous ones.
Yeah. And, you know, we knew all along this season that we had something special with four guys that close together, and to just be competitive almost every day of practice and at every meet. And as long as you keep that healthy, that just makes everybody better on the team. And so, you know, Darian had been in the top 10 before, and we really, time-wise, expected more of them to be closer to that top 10. And some of the guys in the top 10 actually were people they had beaten all season long. And so sometimes, you know, at the state meet, though, you don't run your best time of the season, and the guys just ran gutsy and kept pushing hard to the finish, and it ended up being just enough.
And I'll just wrap it up with this. This has been a great run here. You mentioned you got a few guys that are now leaving the team that feels like they've been, I mean, Colton Schweiger, it seems like I've been talking about him the last 10 years. But the bottom line is when you get success with a program like this, you mentioned the girls have everybody back next year, so you have big hopes for them. And hopefully some younger kids look up and say, you know what, I can be part of something like that in the future.
Yeah, we do hope to keep building on it. One of the things we really try to do is emphasize the team aspect. So appreciated the Plainsman's article and really talking about, right at the beginning, about cross-country being a team sport. And, you know, we cheer each other on. We encourage each other through the season. We pray together. We take extra time at the state meet to do things to really create relationships that go beyond just athletics. And boys and girls together really feels like a family. And so I know that our girls are actually more sad, I think, to see some of our seniors graduate this year than even some of the boys. But it's just been really fun. We've been really blessed to have some great athletes for these 4 or 5 years. And hope that we can grab some younger ones and just start building the boys program again. And again, I'm excited about what we can see from our girls next year.
Tom Brantner, head coach, James Valley Christian girls and boys cross country. James Valley Christian winning their third state cross country title in the past 4 years last week in Sioux Falls. More to come here on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK. We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday. Going to talk here on Tiger Volleyball with head coach Shelley Budenhagen here on Tigers. And, well, all of volleyball has the weekend off here due to Fine Arts weekend. Huron's been off since Tuesday. Play next Tuesday against Brandon Valley. Huron a 3-set sweep at the hands of Mitchell this past Tuesday. And, Shelley, I don't know what it is with the water or whatever, but last two Tuesdays at home, it just hasn't turned out very well for the Huron Tigers.
No, our last two home Tuesday matches, Watertown and Mitchell, have not been real good. But hopefully we've been able to take lessons out of those losses and use it to get better. And there was definitely a lot of things that got exposed against Mitchell. And you know, luckily those got exposed now rather than, you know, later. And so we're able to work on those and try to get a little bit better. And that's really all we can do. And, you know, we've had to kind of recommit to some things refocus, basically, is what we're going to try to do. And we're going to try to treat these next final three matches, which are, you know, the last regular two seasons, and our region as the postseason. And that's just how the mentality is going to have to be. And our sense of urgency against Mitchell wasn't great. You know, and really, in our first set, we made a comeback, and I think it was tied 22-22. And then just, you know, bad things happened, and we just couldn't get the momentum back going into the second set. And then I thought we fought at times pretty hard in that third set. And just, again, we couldn't make some big plays. We couldn't get the big dig or the big swing or the big serve at the right time or the big block, for sure. And so, you know, it was one of those nights, and we chalk it up and trying to find our weaknesses and work on our strengths.
Well, you just mentioned a word that I was going to bring up because you brought it up before we started the interview here, and that's urgency. You want to get a little urgency into practice, into everything the girls are doing here while you have two regular season matches left. You kind of want to say, let's just put those as a region or a district games like the old system, and let's just start the postseason now.
Exactly. And everything's got to change now in practice. You know, I think sometimes the season gets to be such a long grind, but that's part of being an athlete. It is a grind, and it is work, and it's not always fun in games. And but I think this team maybe has grown maybe tired with practices, and they're bored waiting for the postseason. Maybe that's what it is. You know, as a coach, you try to play psychologist and try to figure some things out, and maybe it's overthinking as well. But I think the last few practices have not been great. I don't think they've been dialed in well, and that's my problem. And the coaching staff's problem, we got to get that fixed. And, you know, I'm going to lean on these seniors and some of the juniors now to figure out how to refocus and regenerate some of this sense of urgency and enthusiasm, because right now it's just become a ho-hum, dull type thing. And, you know, at this time of season, that's alarming. But, you know, if you look back at every season, you do go through lulls, and there's peaks and valleys. And we were in a valley for the last few practices. And you know, maybe we should be sending Mitchell a thank you card for the wake-up call that we're getting, seriously. And I know that these girls have high goals, and just because of one loss, it doesn't mean that we have to accept the fact that, you know, that we don't have to accept these goals. So, we're still a good volleyball team. I mean, 14-7 and still ranked fifth in the state. I think that's a pretty darn good season, but yet we've got to rededicate ourselves to basically what being an athlete and being a good team is.
You know, one thing maybe you got to get out of the girls' minds too a bit is, you know, the old saying goes, you're only as good as your last game. Well, you can go to that to a certain extent, but then when you look back, you know, a couple weeks ago, we take a set, lose to Stevens, but take a set, something hardly anybody has done, win a set from Stevens this entire season. We beat Roosevelt about as quickly as Mitchell and Watertown beat us, beating Roosevelt on the road. You know, there's signs there, and the girls have to see, you know what, we can do that. Can we just do it consistently and not with the Jekyll Hyde mentality?
Yeah, you know, this team is such a up and down thing here lately. You know, but you know, if you would have seen us play in Roosevelt, which you did, but a lot of the other people did, you go, "What in the world?" And because we really played well, and a lot of things went our way, we had to have luck on our side too. We didn't get a whole lot of lucky at anything the other night. You know, we're tied 22-22, and Emily has a block, and it, for whatever reason, it rolled off her hand and rolled down the net and then onto the floor. It just was a really tough one to save, and it just kind of took the wind out of ourselves. So I think more of a mental game maturity we're going to have. I think we just aren't recovering some bad things that happened very well. We're just not that tough right now. We can just shake that off and roll with it. So, you know, we've got a few days here now to figure out that kind of mentality and like I said, rededicate ourselves to who we want to be and who we are going to be, and not accept some things that you know, the lackadaisical type behavior that we've had in practice. And, you know, sometimes you, as a coach, you back off and just say, okay, maybe they know what's best, and if this is going to work for them, that's going to work. And it just, you know, it isn't. So, the good thing is it happened now, and we have a chance now to basically put the control, you know, control our destiny type thing back into our thinking and go after these next two opponents. And I think sometimes kids forget that other teams want it just as bad as we do, and you can't wish for it. You got to want it. And when you want something, you got to put a plan into place. And that's a great lesson to have gotten, especially now. I'd rather have that now than in the region. So, you know, things happen for a reason. There's always a silver lining, and I'd like to think, again, that we're going to come out of this bad home match with a better feeling about what's going on in the court.
Now, as we look ahead, you go to Brandon Valley on Tuesday, final road match of the season. Then coming up a week from today, a week from Saturday, it is Pierre at home to close things out. And, you know, those are two teams. Brandon Valley, for instance, they missed the playoffs last year in the first year of the round of 16. They're starting to build the program back up, but they've had some good signs at times. I know you played them back in August at our tournament, but that was a pretty long time ago.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they're a dangerous team. They have big hitters, and they're left-handed. I think they have five real good hitters, and they can be pretty dangerous in the back row. So, you know, it's going to be a different type option for us, you know, as far as we're going to put in defensively. And but, you know, any opponent we play right now is tough, and any opponent that we play right now is hungry. And you know, against Mitchell, we talked about, or after the match, we talked about, are you sick of it? So sick of it that we can't continue. And we're hoping that, you know, with renewed strength, that our strength and our desire and our want to is going to be more than our opponents that we're facing at that point. So, you know, we've got three matches left, and we're going to just throw it all in there and try to leave everything that we have on the court. I sometimes feel like we haven't done that maybe the last five matches. I just feel like there's more in the tank, and that's a compliment more than it's a criticism of this team. But we got to know how to do that, and sometimes that's a skill. That competitive skill. So when you said earlier, you know, we're going to put the competitiveness back into practices, we do. We have to get after it more. And you know, maybe, you know, I'm a big person on fundamentals. Anybody who's been through my practices knows that. But I think maybe the competition now in practice is going to take over here a little bit.
Shelley Budnagan, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. Huron at 14-7 on the season. Two matches remain in the regular season. On Tuesday, they travel to Brandon Valley. Then 1 week from tonight, they host Pier to close it out and get ready for the round of 16. All those matches, of course, on 1340, KIJV, and Tiger 95. We'll take a break, come back here on Tiger Football, coming up next on Dakota Sports, KOKK.
And we're back on Dakota Sports Saturday, talking with Michael Schmitz, head coach here on Tiger Football. Huron Tigers in the semifinals of the 11AA playoffs as they defeat Harrisburg on Thursday night, 20-7. Was the first playoff win for a Huron Tiger football team since Josh Sprecher and those guys back in 02 made their run. And coach, just a great game defensively. Defensively, when you look back at it, 8 quarters against Harrisburg, they only scored 1 touchdown against us.
Yeah, definitely, and then that's a great job by our kids. You know, they fight well, and they're stingy, and they play fast, so that's all we can ask for.
You know, and the way the game started, it looked like we're going to have the defense step up. Offense really struggled, even though we did score a touchdown at the end of the first quarter, but at one point there, early third quarter, we had 2 touchdowns and only 1 first down, but then we started to see a few cracks. We started to make a few plays, and once Harrisburg started to get desperate, we started to be able to get some things done offensively.
Yeah, definitely. And for that group to be able to move the ball like they did and keep things turning, you know, that was a huge help to the defense, you know, and just an all-around good team effort.
Now, Harrisburg, really the way it started, they did march the ball on a couple of drives there to start the game. But they had them sputter out. I know they had penalties kind of ruin one out, but the thing was kind of the bend don't break philosophy again, and it really worked out well.
Yeah, definitely. We were scrappy enough, you know, we bent a little bit, but we were able to get a turnover here and there and get a stop, and you know, that was all credit to the kids.
And another credit there, into the first quarter, the last play, we're at 3rd and 10, I think, from the 43, and Jet McGurr, who did a nice job of checking off receivers, finding 3rd and 4th options, because he did have time from that offensive line. He didn't have what he wanted, and then he thought, well, I'm just going to throw it up on that far sideline and see if Cooper Freiberger can go up and get it. He goes up and gets it and takes it in the end zone, and while we hadn't done anything on offense prior to that, all of a sudden we're up 7-0.
Yeah, and that was a huge spark to get, and that was a good catch, you know, and a good throw, and you know, it really helped ignite what we needed to do.
You know, and then the second touchdown came, I think, on our second play of the second half. We had the second half kickoff, ran a play, and then Jeff McGurr was able to run that kind of belly system that he's run so well this year, and he ends up splitting the defensive backs to get in the secondary, and then showed again that breakaway speed that I don't know that we knew he had before this year.
Yeah, well, and you know, even when we tested in the summer, he's a fast kid, and it doesn't always, I guess, look like he's moving as fast. He's such a smooth runner, I think, and it doesn't make it look like he's as fast as he is, but he's a quick kid.
You know, and offensively, you know, when a guy gets that many yards, I think Jed ended up with 133 yards rushing. That means that line's doing a job. We have a lot of seniors up there. I know that's a group that you work with closely anyway, but I think you also challenge them not only before the season, but pretty much all the way through the season to make this team better.
Yeah, definitely. And then they rise to the challenge. I mean, they like being challenged. They want to be pushed, and they really do a great job.
And defensively, you know, again, it's just what we've seen so much this year. I was looking at the tackle chart we had after the game, and nobody had a ton of tackles, but I bet we had 8 or 9 guys between 4 and 7 tackles right in there. That means we have a lot of guys going to the ball.
Yeah, they're just flying around, and that's all I ask for is, you know, going 100 miles an hour like your hair's on fire and go find the ball.
You know, and individually on defense, it's kind of hard to spotlight somebody when they are playing that well, but I thought sophomore Derek Simmonsma had his second strong game. They really did not have an answer for him. It seemed like the whole night he was in on the quarterback a number of times. He came out with 2 sacks as well, and you know, and it just seemed like that was almost contagious. Blake Larson got in there a couple of times later. Dan Vetch did as well. Gabe Rieger, who's been a little unsung on that interior line as well, all those guys started saying, you know what, this is all possible.
Yeah, definitely. They started timing everything up so well and being able to play with each other and play for each other, you know, playing off of what the other one was doing, that it really opens the holes.
And Bryce Steffen, I guess the first thing we'll say about him, it was good to see him play an entire game in Harrisburg and survive it.
Yeah, definitely. I love seeing that.
Yeah, Bryce Steffen, in case you don't, people don't know, he was injured at Harrisburg his last 2 years, including a season-ending injury last year. Another thing that we haven't talked a lot about, and that's why I brought up Bryce, is his punting. He's been our punter all year, and it doesn't always look pretty. It's not always fancy, but yet he's very effective. He had one of the most effective 21-yard punts I think he could ever have. It was a short field, and all he wanted to do was pin him back deep. He did, but then late in the game, he got a punt with a roll that their guy picked up and lost another 6 yards. I had him for 41 yards on the punt, and they lost another 6 yards trying to field it out, trying to run backwards after that, and that's been an effective weapon for us this year.
Yeah, it definitely flips the field and turns what we need to do, you know, and we can rely on him to get it done. And, you know, it comes from even Matt Cox doing a great job snapping to him, and he gets the punt off well. And, you know, it really changes what we have to do and what we can do.
You know, and just all aspects, just kind of wrap up that Harrisburg game, offense, defense, special teams. There were a lot of contributions as, well, the special teams got one of the turnovers as a muff punt that Kobe Bush got on top early in the game, and there was just contributions all around.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody pitched in and pulled their weight, and, you know, we had a full team effort.
And then one last thing, too, and this has been something I brought up a lot this year, is the turnover differential. I'll have to go back and look, see specifically where we're at, but we were +4 as Harrisburg turned it over 5 times. We turned it over just once, and I think there's been only one game, and that's last week, where we were minus on that turnover differential.
Yeah, it makes a big difference, you know, to be able to give the offense as many snaps as possible and get us, you know, get some points.
Now let's look ahead, and something we haven't had prepared for in a long time, and it's to a Yankton. Yankton eked out a last-second win over Sturgis to advance, and they will host Huron in the semifinals next Friday, and we get back to a little more regular schedule there on a Friday. And I guess first things first, that when you get to this stage of the season, that's kind of nice. All of a sudden, it's a 8-day layoff instead of a 7-day layoff, and that's kind of nice for the kids.
Yeah, definitely. It gives kids a chance to get a day off for once, and the coaches an extra day to plan and be ready for what we're going to do and get it ready to be installed and, you know, to make a transition as easy as possible.
Now, Yankton, they've been able to beat teams both ways for the most part, or at least early in the season. They were really passing the ball a lot. I know when they came to Huron then for our homecoming game, they really started running the ball effectively. They have a great kicker as, well, that's what decided their game against Sturgis on Thursday, so they have a lot of weapons.
Yeah, definitely, and we've got to do a lot of work to prepare and be ready and get the kids ready, and you know, I think we're looking forward to the challenge.
I know at this point you don't have a game plan set, but I know you will have one. I'm sure you'll be visiting with the Sturgis coach to see some of the things he did, because they had a complete shift from their first meeting to what they had on Thursday. But bottom line is you got some time to plan, and the thing is, you don't want to let Harrisburg go completely away. This is something for the kids to celebrate.
Yeah, definitely. We gotta love having what we got and, you know, live in the moment for a little while. Now we gotta move on and get ready.
And to wrap it up, I know you've said it before, bottom line is it's one more week at least to spend with these kids. You got a solid senior bunch, one of our bigger senior classes that we've had in the last 4 or 5 years, and, you know, you just kind of put it on them. You know, this is your guys' time.
Yeah, definitely, and they love it. I mean, they like the pressure, they like the attitude and the atmosphere, and they're ready to roll. I love it.
Michael Schmitz, head coach here on Tiger Football. The Tigers win their first playoff game in 16 years on Thursday night and go to the semifinals, 11-AA playoffs. Huron at Yankton next Friday night will be a 7 o'clock kickoff. Have it on the air on 1340 KIJV and Tiger 95. That wraps up this edition of Dakota Sports Saturday. Quiet weekend, of course, on the local scene, as high schools have the weekend off from athletics. There will be college football and other things going on around today otherwise. Mike Hendrickson and the Sports Max is coming up shortly. Up next, though, will be Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.